Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the feast of Saint Benedict. He lived in around the year 480. He was born in Nursia, Italy, around the year 480, and he spent his early years in Rome. Disappointed by the worldliness of his surroundings, he fled to a cave. I'm not particularly... As I shared yesterday, while I call you on to greater holiness and greater identity with Christ, I'm not saying that you need to go to a cave. However, this is what happened to Saint Benedict. He was disappointed, as I read, by the worldliness of his surroundings, and he fled to a cave where he lived for years as a hermit, and a community gathered around him. In 529, Benedict and his followers moved to Mount Cassino near Naples, and there he composed a little rule for beginners written with Christ's help. And Benedict's rule, that little rule for beginners, became the foundation of European monasticism. All the ways of life that the monks had in different communities, they drew in the beginning from what Benedict had written here. Benedict died around the year 550, and according to Gregory, Benedict possessed the spirit of one man only, the Savior. How would you like to be called that, or identified that way? Benedict possessed the spirit of one man only, the Savior. No, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. The Holy Spirit is given to us in baptism. The gifts of the Spirit given to us in confirmation. Do I resemble the Holy Spirit in this sense? Do the gifts and the fruits, the virtues of God, are they reflected in my life? Kindness, meekness, gentleness, faith, hope, love, wisdom, justice, fortitude, temperance. Do all those gifts, virtues, graces, do they work in my life? Start with one. Start with one. We'll read more about them later, but at the moment, I just want to encourage you that the saints are given to us to inspire us and to call us to make our own reflections using their wisdom, using their love for God. But we have to look in our present day. What is it that I can do? I'm the, let's say, the father of a family. I've been married for a number of years. I can't go off and be a monk. No, you can't. But that doesn't mean that you cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ and that God can't use you right within your circumstances. How desperately good fathers are needed in the world today. Be a good father. Be a good husband. Learn more how to do that. Ask for God's grace, God's virtues, God's power. As God wants to use you. So you don't have to go looking and say, oh, well, that's for priests or nuns. No, it's for all of us. We live it out in different ways. We express it in different ways. But God wants to conform all of us to himself so that when people see us, they find him. Whether you're married, whether you're single, whether you're celibate, whatever your state in life may be, God wants to use all of us, all of us. O God, who made the abbot Saint Benedict an outstanding master in the school of divine service, grant, we pray, that putting nothing, nothing before love of you, we may hasten with a loving heart in the way of your commands. That's a good prayer. Perhaps you want to make it your own. Memorize it. Pray it every day. The first reading today is taken from the book of the prophet Hosea, chapter 10, verses 1 to 3, 7 to 8, and then 12. Israel is a luxuriant vine whose fruit matches its growth. The more abundant his fruit, the more altars he built, the more productive his land, the more sacred pillars he set up. Their heart is false. Now they pay for their guilt. God shall break down their altars and destroy their sacred pillars. If they would say, "We have no king," since they do not fear the Lord, what can the king do for them? The king of Samaria shall disappear like foam upon the waters. The high places of Avon shall be destroyed, the sin of Israel. Thorns and thistles shall overgrow their altars. Then they shall cry out to the mountains, "Cover us," and to the hills, "Fall upon us." Sow for yourselves justice, reap the fruit of piety, break up for yourselves a new field, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain down justice upon you. Brothers and sisters, so often just what Israel did, it says in the second verse today, the more abundant his fruit, the more altars he built, the more productive his land, the more sacred pillars he set up, their heart is false, or worshiping false gods. And can't that happen to us? Many times we are successful and we began to worship the god of money, the god of power, the god of prestige. We begin to worship false gods. And those gifts we have and those talents we have that have caused people to be attracted to us or the world to be attracted to us can destroy us if we use them for our own ends and our own means. Psalm 105 tells us, seek always the face of the Lord in every circumstance, every decision. Lord, what would you have me do? The old phrase that was so popular a number of years ago, what would Jesus do? It's a very good question to ask yourself when you're in a set of circumstances and you're not quite sure, what would Jesus do? Help me, Lord. Help me. Teach me. Guide me. And then listen. Don't just go off talking, "Well, I prayed." You've got to listen. If you pray, God has to have time to answer you. It's foolish, isn't it? But we do it because we don't honestly believe somebody's hearing us. If we did, we'd stop. Lord, here's my situation. Will you please teach me? Will you please help me? And then give the Lord a few minutes right then, and then later in the day or the next day, ask him again and ask him again. But give him time to speak to you. He might do it through scripture. He might do it through the advice of someone else. He might give you an inspiration. Always test out inspirations. Don't just act on them. Test them out with somebody who knows you. Do you think this is logical? Do you think this makes sense? I got this idea. I think it might be from God. What do you think? That's the kind of thing we need to do. And you say, "I don't have any time for that." Well, then you run the risk of everything falling apart in your life. When what Jesus wants to do is help you, take some of the load off you, bless you. But he, as I so often say, he will not violate our free will. So we need to be the ones to say, "Lord, I want your help. I need your help. I'll come to you every day. Please show me what I should do. Help me." You might hear the answer in the scriptures that are read at Mass. You might, in your own personal time of prayer, read something that you say, "There's the answer." The important thing is that you rely on God, not on yourself. God will use all your gifts, or many of your gifts and talents. He will use them. But you look to him. You rely on him, not on self. And God will bring fruit to bear in your life and through your life into the lives of others. And the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 to 7. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease, every illness. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, called Peter, his brother Andrew, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. And Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them thus, "Do not go into pagan territory or enter a Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" That means you can reach it, not in the physical sense, but you can come to know the kingdom of heaven, even here. You can get glimpses of it, even here, if you follow him and you seek to do his will. I say it so often, but I mean it. He loves you. He wants to draw you into intimacy with him. But he asks of us that we obey him, that we obey the commands he has given us. It doesn't mean get it all done and all perfect and then present yourself to God. It just means that you're on the path. You really are trying, and you're confessing when you fail. Honest brothers and sisters, God wants to set you free. He doesn't want to bind you. So often people think, oh, I don't want all those rules and regulations. But then what happens to us is often a real tragedy. Because we don't follow the Lord, we end up following someone, somewhere. And they lead us into chaos many times. You want to be someone who follows the Lord. I just very quietly in my own heart, so often I just say throughout the day, "Jesus, help me, show me, lead me, guide me." It's that simple. But I spend time every day in prayer first. But then throughout the day, I just keep, I don't have to remind him, but I keep reminding myself that I need him. And things work much more peacefully that way. There's no scroll that comes down from heaven. There's no trumpet blast. But after a while, as you get accustomed to this and you honestly confess your sins, after a while you begin to sense a kind of peace and confidence. Not total confidence, not up to you, but confidence in your relationship with God, confidence in his care, confidence in his provision. Brothers and sisters, there's a whole world that awaits those who put their trust in him. And I really urge you to do that. "Sow for yourselves justice, reap the fruit of piety, break up for yourselves a new field, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain down justice upon you." What a wonderful, wonderful promise from God. And in the gospel it says, "Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" If you're walking with God, if you're following him, if you're repenting when you fail, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's near. Bring people to know Jesus. But in order to bring people to know Jesus, you need to know Jesus. It's never perfect. As long as you're on the pathway, you will be able to bring others to know him. May God abundantly bless you and lead you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.